Well, good morning, my friends of St. Martin's. It's a great joy to be here with my wife, Eileen, for this weekend. I want to thank your rector very much indeed, not only for his friendship over many years, but for the invitation to preach on this Mother's Day. What a wonderful day, and we want to congratulate our mothers, living and departed, for all that they have done for us. Certainly the heart of the home and the heart of civilization as well. Rudyard Kipling, I think, put it very well indeed, although sentimentally, when he said, God couldn't be everywhere, so he made mothers. And what a good job he's done. I regard a service like this as a kind of multi-warhead service, you know, because you don't know quite what's coming at you. For example, this is going to be an award to Mrs. Bush from VTS. We've got Mother's Day. We're blessing the work of the saintly stitches of this church, and wonderful work it is. And it's a Eucharist, and we're welcoming new people who were confirmed yesterday. So a great deal is going on. But isn't there something deliciously ironic about this morning service? Here we are blessing kneelers, thanking God for mothers, when a war is going on. Isn't this quintessentially Episcopalian and Anglican in what we're doing? It reminds me of the height of the Bosnian crisis in the 90s. Eileen and I went to Sarajevo for a special BBC service. And we went in this huge plane, which circled, and we were in the body of the plane, strapped to the outside with containers in front of us, and it was pitch black in this plane. We circled around Sarajevo. The pilot then said, well, we may not be able to land because of the weather conditions and because of rocket fire going on. The officer next to Eileen said, pay no attention to that. Total nonsense. Of course we're going to land. I'm the paymaster general of the British Army, and I've got the wages. As you will understand, we landed, and on disembarking, it became even more surreal when the British ambassador said to us, I'm going to take you to a reading of the poetry of Seamus Heaney. So there we were, in the basement of a hotel, listening to Bosnians read an Irish poet while war was going on all around us. So what do I mean by a war going on? You know, it is a real war. It's a war between good and evil, between right and wrong, between the kingdom of evil and the kingdom of light, between the kingdom of Jesus and all that oppose his reign. So the question I want to put this morning, where do gentle things like mothers and kneelers fit into this struggle for right and wrong, which goes on in our societies, and yes, let's admit it, in our very hearts and homes as well. Well, I think we find the answer in today's gospel, where Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And earlier Jesus has spoken about his commandments, and the puzzling thing is, do you really think that loving is a commandment as such? And it's not actually in the way we think of commandments. There isn't many commandments in Christianity, which has led people to think, isn't it good to have a faith that doesn't depend upon rules and obligation? And the answer we have to give is, well, yes and no. It doesn't mean that faith is simpler and easier if you have a rule-less religion. If anything, it's even harder to follow because things are not given to you on a plate. You have to work things out. And so Jesus says in John's Gospel, this is what you have to do. If you want to be my disciple, then love is the way you follow. In other words, work it out. It's far from easy. And as someone once wrote in a doggerel some years ago, to love one another for me is no chore. The only real problem is my neighbour next door. And it's true, isn't it? It's possible to hate humanity and yet love your children. It's possible to have a theoretical sympathy with the suffering of a million people, billion people who live on under $1 a day, but never give anything to the poor. So the question, how do we grow in love? Jesus could easily have said, well, go and do this, go and do that, say 1,000 Hail Marys, climb up the steps of St. Peter's in Rome on your knees, give $100,000 to the poor. But he didn't. He said, abide in me. That is the way that love grows. The image is taken from agriculture. The vine is only healthy if it's rooted in good soil, and the branches can only bear good fruit if it abides in the vine. Abiding. What a lovely word abiding is. It's, I think, a richer word than the word remaining. It's what you mothers do day after day in caring for your loved one. And yes, I hope we fathers do as well. But very often, it's the mother who takes the initiative. I remember a conversation with Nelson Mandela, and I'm not bragging, dropping names or anything, like, not here in the presence of the president, anyway. We were at the World Economic Conference, and I was on the foundation board at the time. And there we were talking to Nelson Mandela, and suddenly he said, could I borrow a telephone from someone? So someone gave him his mobile, and he phoned somebody. And you could tell from the joy on Mandela's face that it was a very special conversation. He gave the phone back to the man, and he said, I'm really sorry to have disturbed our conversation. But he said, when I was in prison on Robben Island, I made a vow that when I was released, I would phone my grandchildren every day of my remaining life. And I thought, what a masterclass in abiding, because it means keeping in touch. It's love in action. It's what mothers do naturally. And we see that in the life of Jesus and his connectedness to God. We know from the Gospels that he withdrew regularly from the hustle and bustle of life in order to spend time with his Heavenly Father. He was always abiding. And we have to confess, don't we, that we find it at times so hard. We're so busy, so much going on, perhaps too much going on. And we have to find ways of taking time out to spend with the Lord, listening. Remain in my love. We hear the invitation in the gospel today. And those of you who were confirmed yesterday, remember to abide daily, weekly. Worship is so important. Remain, listen, get closer. And that is the kind of experience we get when we are close to the Lord himself, because it's a love that transcends human comprehension. It's a love that cannot be earned. It's a love that knows no boundaries. And it's the love that we couldn't get if we chose it. And that's the point, you see. That's the point. We didn't choose Jesus. As the gospel said, he chose us. Let me just mention a couple of things we were chosen for, very quickly indeed. We were chosen for joy. I've told you this, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. A joyful person is actually more than a happy person, because he or she knows that she's loved by the one who described God's love in maternal terms. as a mother hen gathers her chicks. We are chosen for love. And what a wonderful phrase. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one friend. The giving out of love, it's unending, but you know you grow by that. And Jesus also said, we're chosen to be his friends. I no longer call you slaves, I call you a friend. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be reminded this morning? We are friends of Jesus. Something very special about friendship, isn't there? I sometimes think it's even greater than kinship. Families choose us, we choose our friends, and true friendship is an abiding relationship that goes on through our life. And then finally, Jesus chooses us to be his advertisements. He appointed us to go and bear fruit. And there are many ways in which our friendship can be expressed in Jesus. The kind of fruits of joy in our lives, the imagination as we seek ways of following him. And this takes me back to saintly stitches and kneelers. Such an ordinary and harmless thing we may think. But I know it's not as easy as it looks, because I once tried to do it and I had to give up when I found I couldn't even thread the needle. So I do admire people who do artistic things like that. But there's so many ways, and that's an example of the way we can give our gifts back to the Lord. I mean, the wonderful choir, the gift of singing, the wonderful brass and the organ, musicians, the people who serve here as sides persons, the way in which we serve in our job every day, going out there to make a difference in so many ways. Every activity we do as Christians is part of Christian work and Christian mission. Someone gave me a joke just the other day. Two silkworms had a race. They ended up in a tie. I'm sorry, it's such a corny joke. But I love the idea that just as silkworms are a gift for men's ties, each one of us is a gift for others as we bear fruit in our lives. So well done, saintly stitches. Well done, all those who serve Christ in so many ways. And we all know that those who kneel to the Lord can stand up to anything. Just like mothers. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.